If you'll turn with me in your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint.
Now remember that verse is going to come up later on in the sermon, but with a little twist somewhere in it. So make sure you're paying attention for that. So like I said, we're in the season of Lent. And you know, it's just flying by. Herbst looked at me this morning and said, "Can you believe Palm Sunday is just a, or Easter's, what, 3 weeks out, you said?"
Easter.
My goodness. Sneaking up on me. And it's just flying by. You know, a couple of weeks we have Palm Sunday, 3 weeks we have Easter. Now, as we've been talking about these past couple weeks, as we are in Lent, it's the period before Easter where we are focusing on Christ. We're preparing our hearts and minds for that splendid Easter morning. So as a church, we're spending this time hearing from different kinds of animals that teach us lessons about Jesus. And these lessons help us to prepare for Easter, prepare for this resurrection. So far, we've heard from the donkey. We've heard from the dove. We've heard from a chicken. This week, we're getting a little crazier still. We're going to hear from a vulture, of all things. And of all the animals, a vulture is the craziest one I can think of. So let's see what it's going to teach us. So to get rolling, let's just stay away from what we think about vultures for a little bit. I mean, if I say, "What do you think about a vulture?" and you know, it's imagining in your mind, it's terrible. We'll get to that in a minute. But first, let's look at what the Old Testament says about vultures. Now, they don't come up very often, but when they do, the image is quite powerful. I mean, it's very straightforward and almost blunt. So I have three quotes real quick. The first is Leviticus 11:13. It goes, "These are the birds you are to detest and not eat because they are detestable. The eagle, and then right there at the top of the list is the vulture, followed by many other various birds." Yeah, Habakkuk 1:6-9 says, "I am raising up the Babylonians, that ruthless and impetuous people, who will sweep across the whole earth to seize dwelling places not their own. They are a feared and dreaded people. They are a law to themselves and promote their own honor. Their horses are swifter than leopards, fiercer than wolves at dusk, and their cavalry gallops headlong. Their horsemen come from afar. They fly like vultures swooping to devour. They all come bent on violence. Their hordes advance like a desert wind and gather prisoners like sand." And the final one we can see is from Job 15:20-23. It goes, "All his days the wicked man suffers torment. The ruthless through all the years stored up for him. Terrifying sounds fill his ears when all seems well. Marauders attack him. He despairs of escaping the darkness. He is marked for the sword. He wanders about, food for the vultures. He knows the day of darkness is at hand." Now, this is not a pleasant picture to start out with. I mean, all these different animals looked at, man, that's awesome. They're great. They're amazing. Great stories behind them. But here we're starting out with this detestable, devouring, darkness, torment, terrible, terrible. This doesn't sound like a bird we should keep around as a pet or maybe even talk about sometimes. They're nasty. So let's get on to a little bit of the New Testament as well about these vultures. The New Testament doesn't do them any favors either. Both the times they're mentioned, Jesus is talking about when he comes again. So one of these is Matthew 24. It goes, "At that time, if anyone says to you, 'Look, here's the Christ,' or 'There he is,' do not believe it. For false Christ and false prophets will appear and perform great signs and miracles to deceive even the elect, if that were possible. See, I have told you ahead of time. So if anyone tells you, 'There he is out in the desert,' do not go out. Or 'Here he is in the inner rooms,' do not believe it. For as lightning that comes from the east is visible even in the west, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. Wherever there is a carcass, there the vultures will gather." So imagine my struggle this week, trying to wrap my head around this picture of the vulture. Trying to make it into a sermon illustration for Christ. Some kind of lesson. And it's terrible. It's hard. The Old Testament sees them as these detestable birds they do not even touch. The New Testament sees it as a sign of the end of times. I was really worried thinking about this, and then, like, what am I going to do with this? What can this teach us? But then I started looking up what the vulture sort of does, how it lives, some cool things about the vulture. And you might be shocked at some of the things that we have to learn from them. Before we think of that, first, let's go back to that image of the vulture. When I say, close your eyes and think of the vulture, what do you see? I bet a lot of us are thinking of some similar image. You know, this vulture circling around in the air. You know, circling slowly over some poor creature who's dying or dead on the ground somewhere. I mean, you can look up while you're driving down the road, you know, there's roadkill over there, the vultures are swooping around, there's someone's field, you know what they're doing. It's almost this iconic image for vultures. That's how they're portrayed in the media, portrayed in cartoons like Bugs Bunny. I used to love Bugs Bunny. But there's more to vultures than this. For instance, did you know that they are considered to be some of the most graceful birds in the air? It's crazy to think about. Shocked me when I read it. When we think about graceful, we think of the majestic eagle. Sort of like we read in Isaiah. This eagle, it's amazing, it's beautiful. But a vulture, that's not graceful. Those aren't pretty. They're ugly. But let's learn a little bit about them. Vultures will wait on these high perches, tall trees, cliffs, whatever it may be, until the morning sun begins to warm the earth up and warm the air up. That's when they start flying around. They launch themselves from their perches and glide until they find a warm pocket of air, also known as a thermal. They will get themselves nice and secure in this thermal, and the warm air just carries them straight up in the air. Gets them really high up there. And when they reach the top of this thermal, they dive across the skies, nearly 60 miles an hour. They glide and they glide until they find another thermal, and they go higher and higher. It's said they can go up to 20,000 feet in the air and soar for 6 hours at a time, never flapping their wings once. That's crazy to think about. Makes me wonder why other birds haven't caught on to this. I mean, take the hummingbird, for example. They say it can flap its wings up to 70 times in 1 second. I would have trouble flapping my arms 70 times in 1 day. Couldn't imagine that many times in 1 second. Now compare that to a 6-hour flight without ever flapping your wings one time. How many of you knew that there was a whole other side of these vultures? They're actually really amazing birds. Now, one more fun fact I had to throw in here, because it's, I like these terms. When you see a group of vultures rising on these warm thermals, they're called a kettle, because they look like a pot of boiling water rising. No idea. Now, you can all sound really smart the next time when you see a bunch of vultures going out, and you say, man, those are, it's a kettle of vultures right there. People are like, what are you talking about? That's crazy. So, back to the original thing. What does that have to do with Jesus? What lessons does this teach us? Now, I imagine Jesus knew a lot of things. I imagine he may have known everything. We don't really know. But I don't think Jesus really focused on the fun facts of the vulture. That wasn't on the forefront of his mind. But perhaps if it was, he may have spoken a little more favorably of them, I believe. And then could have given us a famous bird parable that had the vulture in it. And pretty cool. Something similar maybe to Matthew 6:26. It goes, look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you as not much more valuable than they? Can you imagine Jesus saying this parable, especially back then to the Israelites? He says, look at the vultures of the air. They do not toil to reach these great heights, yet your heavenly Father lifts them up with the warm air of the earth with no effort of their own. And these are nasty birds we're talking about here. Are they not much more valuable than, are you not more valuable than they are? Trust in me as the vulture trusts in the warm thermal updrafts, and I will lift you up. All of a sudden, these vultures are sounding like a great sermon. I mean, imagine Jesus giving this sermon. That's amazing. Now, of course, Jesus never actually said that. That wasn't something he said. But the lessons we can learn from the vulture can be found time and again in Scripture. The first lesson we can sort of learn from the vulture is to trust in God. You can find that lesson at least 42 times in the Bible. 16 times of those in just the book of Psalms alone. And hand in hand with this, the vulture can teach us another lesson as well. And as we shouldn't try to go at it alone. Interestingly, when a vulture does have to fly on its own, when it's by itself, there's no warm enough draft to take it in the air and make it glide. They have to take off from the ground, and they're flapping, and they're flapping, and they're giving everything they got. But they can't do it barely. It takes every ounce of effort they have to make it up in the air. On their own, they struggle to reach any great height. On their own, they become slow and vulnerable. On their own, they struggle. This lesson comes right out of Scripture as well. John 15, it goes, I am the vine, and you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me, my words remain in you. Ask whatever you wish, and it will be given to you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. So like this vulture, it's hard to do it alone. Kind of like this, like I said, the big awkward vulture trying to lift itself up off the ground. They really can't do it very well. But that same bird, with a little bit of help, can soar at 60 miles an hour and up to 20,000 feet off the ground. Just like that bird, we can soar. We can fly at fast speeds with God's help. So back to what Cadence read, with a little twist on it. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like vultures, and they will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. Those are the lessons that these lowly vultures can teach us in this Lenten season. Now, the final thing I would say is that I find it interesting that there is sort of a division that happens when we think of vultures. Either the vulture is picking up scraps off the ground and having trouble flying, or it's soaring high in the air. It's either or. It's not doing both. Can't do both. The only difference between the two is that the warm thermal is lifting it up. So which are you today? Are you feeling grounded? Are you picking for scraps off the ground, just barely trying to get by? Or are you flying high through the support of our wonderful Lord? Which are you today, and which do you plan to be tomorrow? Keep that in mind this week. If you'll pray with me. Lord, thank you again for allowing us to gather here to worship you. And Lord, thank you for showing us yourself through the things we don't think about often. Thank you for being able to use this vulture to teach us something about living in your grace, living with your support, to allow us to fly high and teach the world more about you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.